Dave Moore on Today FM.
Did you see photos of Robert Sheehan, the brilliant Irish actor, pulling a fridge around Limerick City? We need to find out exactly what was going on. Thankfully, the man himself is here to tell us all about the movie he was doing it for. Robert Sheehan, good morning.
Good morrow, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good. Do I call you Robert or Robbie? Because I saw you were billed on this wonderful short movie we're about to talk to as Robbie Sheehan. Do you have a preference?
I think they're probably going to change that back to Robert before broadcast.
Right, okay.
Or perhaps I'll eat my words if that doesn't happen.
What are you called with your, say, at home? What are you called when people who know you're around?
I tend to leave it up to the interpreter. I have no preference, really.
And are there points where Bobby's thrown around? Are you always Robert or Robbie?
Oh, Bobby as well. Bobby's thrown around, Bob's. I've had one or two Berties over the years.
Right. Well, we'll stick with Robert for the moment anyway. We'll stick with that. That's how I know you, certainly. Listen, let's talk about, did you read about Erskine Fogarty, which is on tonight. Yeah. It's on 10 past 10, RT2, and it's absolutely one of the finest short films I've seen in a long time.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
So wildly Irish. And I think your performance in it is amazing. Can you tell everybody what it's about? Because obviously they have to see it this evening.
Oh, well, it's about a fellow he's in Dublin, but he's from Limerick, and he kind of loses his shirt and everything else in the financial collapse of 2007. And it's about him going kind of quietly insane and holding on to this talisman of his wealth in the form of his big posh-looking fridge freezer that he got from America. And so he drags this fridge freezer back across Limerick City.
Yeah.
Back to the housing estate that he grew up on. And that's what it's about, really.
And there's so much metaphor and so much imagery and so much everything involved in this, exactly as you describe it, dragging this huge fridge across the city and the adventures that gets him into. But at the same time, there's also the absurdity of it in a beautiful way, that there's just a man pulling a fridge across Limerick. Like there's so many levels this movie operates on.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. Yeah, it's that. Is it Sisyphus? Is that the guy pushing the giant rock up?
Giant
the
rock. Yes,
it's kind of him. It was a sort of lovely analogy for the whole nation, really, shouldering enormous amounts of debt, you know, during that time.
And how was Blind Boy to work with in terms of, you know, his vision and bringing that to life as an actor?
Oh, sure. He was lovely. It was nice, actually. There was a thing, it was about a week and a half ago, the night before the ADR session, so the additional dialogue session, because there's quite a bit of voiceover in this film. And Blind Boy sent me an audio note on email, but it was obviously him set up to do his podcast.
Right.
So I got this kind of, sort of him, just him kind of extolling thoughts on what he thought the sort of mood and atmosphere of the voiceover ought to be.
Right.
But it sort of came through my speaker in the exact sonic fidelity of his podcast, which I'd listened to for years, but it was addressed directly to me. It was very surreal.
I'd say so. Did you read about Erskine Fogarty is the name of it in Storyland, RT2 tonight, 10 past 10, and I really think everyone's going to enjoy it. Your character of Erskine Fogarty in this story, he has a giant fridge, as we've covered, but he also is armed with an unbelievable amount of facts. And listen, you probably don't know this about me, but for about the last 18 years on the radio, I have tried to just farm facts out to people. So much so that I now have a podcast with comedian Neil Delamere, and we're in the middle of season 8, where we just try and out-fact each other all the time. So when your character, Erskine Fogarty, started just spewing facts out in this movie, I was like, I see myself. I feel seen.
So what sort of thing do you and Neil be spewing at each other?
So we have a podcast called Why Would You Tell Me That? Where each week one of us hosts it and the other one is just the kind of uneducated bystander. And you bring an expert along that will prove something wild. Like, for example, one of my favorite episodes is about a volcanic eruption that happened in the early 1800s that caused a year without summer, gave rise to the opium epidemic in China, and gave us Frankenstein.
Well, how did it give us Frankenstein?
Because there was no summer, Mary Shelley went on holidays to the Swiss lakes. And she went there to go on a lovely holiday with Byron and a few other people.
Yeah.
And they were bored because they couldn't do anything during the day. Yeah. So they said, well, let's write some ghost stories. And she sat down and wrote Frankenstein.
Yeah, they all wrote like pretty iconic stories, or a few of them did, didn't they?
That was a volcano's fault. So it's that kind of thing. But you see, much like your character, Erskine, I had nobody to listen to me. He was shouting these into a void as well.
Yeah. Isn't there something slightly slippery about facts, too?
Yes, you know? Totally.
The idea that Erskine is a man who's at the start of the film defined entirely by his possessions and his wealth, and then loses all that and has got nothing left but these facts. They're like a kind of, they're like his commodities or his sort of pillars that he can kind of build his identity on. But just facts, I think, I suppose, because science and thought in general, we've seen the overhaul of it, you know, quite a few times, even when we talk about facts about reality, gravity, and, you know, the laws of the universe and so on. So just the fact that I remember seeing a Tommy Tiernan gig down in West Cork, and he said the line, "I'm suspicious of facts." And he always had been. And I kind of feel that too. I kind of intuitively feel that, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, because ultimately, delivered in the right way, they can all seem like facts, whether they are or aren't. You see, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's it.
You mentioned West Cork there. That is where we find you most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, here and there, you might find me down there, yeah.
And what is it about? I mean, it sounds like a silly question because it's one of the most beautiful places on earth, but what is it that drew you down there?
Well, beauty aside, I suppose I've loads of family down there. Mm. So I had been going there my whole life. So it was quite familiar. And space, quiet, you know.
All the important ingredients.
All of the lovely things. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, listen, Dermot, who used to work here, obviously has left me. So it's okay, Robert, I'm not that upset. But no, he's gone to pursue a wonderful career in meditation and teaching meditation. But that's also part of your makeup. And you had that book, the brilliant book, Playing Dead, How Meditation Brought Me Back to Life.
Yeah, I was talking to Dermot about it, actually. We were both at Electric Picnic doing gigs. And so we were enthusing away about our respective meditation books. Yeah, I haven't got round to reading his, but I'm looking forward to it. I actually bumped into him during the filming of Erskine.
Oh, right.
In a hotel in Limerick City. He was doing a gig for a friend of his. And it was just completely at random. I was covered in prosthetics and fake blood and makeup, maquillage all over my face. Oh, Dermot, there you are.
He's like, that Robert Sheen's a weird guy. Like, I don't know what he was wearing.
Yeah, ruffian.
And come here very quickly, the Umbrella Academy, obviously 4 seasons of that, something that myself and one of my sons just absolutely love watching that. How was that when it came to an end this year as well, of course?
Yeah, end of an era, crikey. Mm. We've been making the show since the end of 2017, technically. Yeah. So it had been a long run and, you know, a joyous one, fairly life-defining for me. So
I'd say so. Well, listen, well done. It was a brilliant, brilliant piece of television.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers. I'll take all the credit, sure.
Take it all. Why not? Quick fire round before I let you go, Robert. I ask all my guests these questions, so see how you fare. What are you currently obsessed with?
Ooh, you know, I just watched this movie with a friend of mine called My Dinner with Andre. It's a movie about two men who go for dinner. That's essentially what it is. It's really a unique form of storytelling that I hadn't seen really before. It's brilliant. And also, we also watched another movie the other night called The Sweet Smell of Success, which, again, I'm sort of mildly obsessed by. It was from 1957 with Tony Curtis. And it's interesting because it's one of these, you know, it's got a kind of an old-timey style, obviously. But it's about a really bad guy, you know, it's about a guy who's clearly not necessarily irredeemable, but just really dishonorable. And they really, really lean into that in this movie. So it's quite a jarring thing because I'm used to people being all sort of chivalrous and noble in old-timey movies.
Of course, yeah. So this is a different cup of tea, all right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Really, I think it freaked people out.
I'd imagine. Next one is, who's the most famous person in your phone?
The most famous person in my phone? That's a tricky one. I did this film in Bulgaria not long ago it was a sort of action film, sort of Marvel vintage-y film called Red Sonja.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a man in it, an actor called Martin Ford, right? And if folks don't know Martin Ford, check him out on Instagram, M-A-R-T-Y-N. But walking around Sofia in Bulgaria, it was like being with Elvis Presley. Honest to God.
Amazing.
Everyone was like falling at Martin's feet. He's like sort of demigod in Bulgaria.
Incredible.
So that was he's probably the most famous man in my phone.
Brilliant. Go back to when you're about 8 years old, second class in national school, and it's Suspiog, and the teacher says, open up your lunchbox. What's inside Robert Sheehan's lunchbox?
There's probably some sort of slapdash sandwich and maybe a cheese string. I had quite a few of those when I was a kid.
Was that your treat, or was there anything sweet?
There might have been a little kind of a fun size bar, and then maybe a small apple, and then occasionally perhaps we push the boat out with a yogurt.
Oh, you know. Delicious lunch now. Be fair, if I got that today, I'd be quite happy. And the final question I ask all my guests, and it is a little bit odd, I preface it with that, but because I don't, I like to know, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Do I wash my legs?
Yes.
You know, living in the country as I do, there are showers where you've to be quite thorough,
because
you've been out frolicking in muck all day long in a pair of work pants.
Yes.
So, I probably have done recently wash my legs.
Okay, that's absolutely fair.
Wash my feet more than my legs.
Some people do say that to me. Yeah, that they may bypass the leg to get to the feet. I do neither, so it's all alien to me. But listen, knock yourself out.
Leave the bottom half of you alone.
Yeah, exactly. Robert Sheehan is starring in Storyland tonight on RTÉ2 at 10:10. Did you read about Erskine Fogarty? It is brilliant. Please watch it. Robert, thank you so much for coming on, taking the time. I really appreciate it, and great work on the movie.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Dave Moore on Today FM.